like to encourage you to open up once again that Bible to the gospel reading for this morning as we celebrate the fourth Sunday in Advent. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we live in a world where there is war. We live in a world where brother kills brother. We live in a world of upheaval. But yet, today we celebrate peace. Help us to understand the peace that Jesus brings. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Now, throughout the Advent season, Dr. Stomer and I have been presenting and bringing to you a series based upon that great prophet from the Old Testament, Isaiah. Isaiah, 700 years before the birth of Christ, looked forward to this event. The Nativity. Now, the people during the time of Isaiah were in a very dark time. There was war. There was captivity. Man was hurting man. And as he looked forward, he was prophesying to the people. Now listen, from creation on, there has been darkness of sin. But someday, in the future, the people who walk in darkness, like you and like I, those people like us who walk in darkness, someday will see a great light. And they know they've seen this light because a baby will be born to a virgin in a little village called Bethlehem. And a son will be given. And that son will grow up. And he will be identified and called Wonderful Counselor. No one has ever given better counsel than Jesus. In fact, the people of the day said about Jesus, no one has spoken like him. It is Jesus with his wonderful counsel. He wraps up the entire 39 books of the Old Testament, prophets, and commands with these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. The entire Bible rests on this. What wisdom! Not only wonderful counselor, but almighty God, no one before or since Jesus has done the miracles that he did. We could believe Jesus is God Almighty walking on earth based upon just the miracles. But we base it more on his mighty miracles, but also on the word of God and his very words. He calmed the wind and the waves. He changed water into wine. He raised the dead. Only God can do that. Last week I spoke to you about he is called Everlasting Father. We understand Father Time, Mother Nature. We understand that Satan is called the Father of Lies. But he's Father Christmas. He is the spirit of Christmas, past, present, and future. He is the essence of everything we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus. He is Father eternal for each and every one of us because Christmas will be celebrated from now on, even in eternity. Today I want to speak to you about the fourth title that Jesus is given by Isaiah, the Prince of Peace. And to better understand Prince of Peace, we need to take a close look at the Christmas story. Today, our gospel reading. when the angels proclaimed peace. Let's take a closer look at that together. Luke chapter 2. Please open up your Bible. Just kind of follow along with me as we take a closer look at this reading. Now it is Luke who says, and in the same region, that is where Mary and Joseph traveled to, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. Now imagine the midnight shift, the night shift, it's dark, it's cold, and you're out in the field trying to herd sheep and keep them together. Kind of puts yourself right there, if I dare say. And an angel. Now this was not something common. This was out of the ordinary. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. Not only that, but the glory of the Lord shone around them. So there was this bright light. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Today we might say, UFO! This was something God sent. And notice what happened. And they were filled with fear? No, great fear. They were shaking in their sandals. They were terrified. Think about it. Has an angel ever appeared to you? Imagine in the middle of the night, a bright light, and an angel of the Lord appearing to you. A Christmas angel. And the angel said to them, fear not. I don't know if that settled them down or not, but that's the response, even of Jesus at times. Do not be afraid. An angel, do not fear. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That's what the gospel means, folks. When you hear the word gospel, the gospel truth, gospel means just good news. Here's the announcement of the angel, announcement saying, here's where history is split in two. Nothing will ever be the same again. The good news, a baby is born. You see, the entire world, from China to Japan, from South America to North America, from Africa to Alaska, everybody sets their calendar to this good news. 2022 is how we set our calendars. Why? How come? Because of the good news. Now, we grew up years ago, I'm dating myself, B.C. history and A.D. history. Before Christ and honor the many, the year of the Lord, the year of the announcement of the birth of Jesus. The good news. Today, what is taught in school is B.C.E. Before the common era. A.C.E. After the common era. It should be classified as before Christmas, after Christmas, the first Christmas. But that's the good news, folks. We know what has split history in two. Do you realize not everybody in your family knows? Give you a little test this Christmas. Gather with all your family and friends. Stand up as a parent, a grandparent, and say, who can tell me why it's 2022, and I think you'll be surprised how many people will say, I don't know, first confirmation class of our Savior Lutheran Church, I asked that question. Out of six students, not one could answer. beginning of confirmation. They do know now. Last Tuesday, in front of 14 basketball players, I stood up and had a prayer and said, I got a question for you. Who can tell me, out of 14 basketball players, right 2022, who raised their hand? 12 of them went. We need to announce the good news and celebrate it. The angel made it clear, a great joy will be for all the people. Jesus came for the whole world. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign. Now, David, a city of David, a Savior. Savior means from sin. He is Christ, anointed one, who the 39 books of the Old Testament proclaim, and Lord, God Almighty. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Nativity scene. Christmas scene. Verse 13. And suddenly. Now you think those shepherds were scared? How about now? And suddenly, not slowly, boom. There was with the angel a multitude. Now the Greek term there means uncountable. You think maybe a choir of 20? Better translation is the entire sky. You want to talk about being fearful? I'm sure they started shaking all over again. Heavenly host, praising God. Imagine the sound of it all, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Some people put a period there. And when they put a period there, in their own mind, they disqualify the Bible. They say something like this. Angels and I, peace on earth, and we know there's no peace on earth. Ever since Cain killed Abel, man has been killing one another. Think of all the wars. Ukraine today, listen to the news. Mass murder, people shooting students in schools. There is no peace on earth. The Bible is wrong. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. That was not the Christmas message. We've got to listen to all of Scripture and not interpret it according to our period. Listen to what Luke records and the angels proclaim. And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth. He came to bring peace among those who have God's grace. Listen to the words of Paul. Therefore, those who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior have peace with the Father. You see, it is our sin that separates us from God and each other. It is our sin that will condemn us someday. But Jesus came to die on that cross, to pay the price, so we could have peace with God through forgiveness. Not peace on earth, but peace with God. And then that peace with God fills us with the Holy Spirit. And we have peace within, like eating a piece of chocolate. It comes inside of us and it overflows. But does everybody receive that peace? No. No different than the child this morning. He said, no. It is John who explains it like this. Jesus, although he made the world didn't know him. Jesus, although he came to his own, even his own didn't receive him. But to anyone, to everyone, he received him and believed in his name. He gave the right to become children of God. It's being a child of God that enables you to be or to have peace with God and peace with him. 15. When the angels went away from there into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, imagine the joy and the peace now that the shepherds had, no longer trembling and fearing. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. I'd like to now share a story with you that I believe wraps this all up. Not peace on earth, but peace with God and peace with him. Listen to the words of Jesus. Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. No. I have come to bring separation between son and father, daughter and mother, a separation even among family members. What? Now, only peace among those who have his favor, who have his grace. The angels announced peace on earth, good will towards men, and whom his favor was. Jesus says, don't think I've got peace on earth. No, only among those people who believe and receive to have that peace. I'm going to do a story, and then I've got patience from Paul Harvey. He has a Christmas story, and I'd like to share portions of that with you. It's a story about birds. Birds in a tree. Imagine that. There was a farmer of four, a husband, a wife, and two daughters. So on Christmas Eve, they were preparing to go to church to celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, three of the four were preparing. The husband was not. The father was not. But the mother and the two daughters were getting ready, putting on their Christmas vest for the Christmas Eve service at the church that was just down the road a half mile. It was winter, it was cold, there was snow on the ground. And as the wife and daughters got ready, once again, like they did every Christmas, asked Daddy, the father, the husband, would you please come to church with us? And the father said no. Now he was not the Grinch. He was not the Scrooge. He was a very kind, loving man. He was good to his wife and provided for his children. He was an outstanding person in the community. And when they asked him to come to church with them, once again he said, no, I'm not going to church with you. I don't believe all that stuff about Emmanuel, God coming to earth and becoming a man. It makes no sense to me. Why would God become a man? And if I go to church with you, I will be nothing but a hypocrite. I'm not going. You go to Christmas service, and when you come back, I'll be here. So reluctantly, with sad frowns on their face, the mother packed up the daughter into the car, and off to the Christmas Eve service they went. In the meantime, The father got out his favorite novel, sat down, and started reading. And all of a sudden, he heard a thump. And the picture window. He went over to the window and looked out, and he noticed a ball of feathers in the snow that righted itself, shook itself, and the feathers came together, and it was a bird that obviously hit the window, trying to get into the warmth and the comfort and the light of the house. And it fluttered up into the tree and joined all of its friends in the bitter cold tree outside. And being a love of nature, looking out that window, that father said, you know, I can do something about this. So he got his overcoat on, his boots on, and he went out to the tree and said, hello, birds, I'm here to help. And he walked over to the barn, opened up the barn door, turned on the light, and said, come on in. It's warm. It's comfortable. It's peaceful. It's for you. And the birds just looked at him like he was some kind of strange creature. He was beside himself. Come on, birds. Then all of a sudden, he thought to himself, I got an idea. And he raced into the house, got into the cabinet, and took out some breadcrumbs and threw them on the ground and said, come on, follow the breadcrumbs right into the barn. And the birds did nothing. And he thought to himself, you know, I think they're scared of me. Yeah, I'm trying to help them. Ah, another idea came to him. I'll go in and I'll get the broom. And he got the broom out. He said, maybe I can catch him and push him and lead him into the barn by force. Get in there, come on, birds, and he went around and he sued them, and all the birds did was fly high and ran on the higher branches, and he sued the birds and ran around, said, come on, you birds, get into the barn. And they just fluttered around. And he wore himself out chasing around the tree, those birds. And as he wore himself out in the snow, he rested on that broom. And looked up at those birds. And I thought, I'm going to say, from above, this time, came to his mind. He said, wouldn't it be something if I could become a bird? Then I could fly up there and join those birds, and they'd no longer would be afraid of me. And I could communicate with them. And I could lead as many as possible into the warmth and the comfort, the peace, and the light of the barn. And as he had that thought, from above, a sound from above came to his ear. It was the church bells ringing for the announcement of the Christmas Eve worship service, where people were gathering to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us, at the church. And all of a sudden, it dawned on him. And a peace that surpasses understanding came upon him. And he realized now why God had to become a man. And he raced into the house and grabbed his keys, jumped into the pickup truck, started it up, and raced to church to be with his family on Christmas Eve to celebrate the birth of Christ on earth, God becoming a man. He suffered and died and pronounced to everyone, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one goes to heaven except through me. Imagine the joy and the peace that came over that wife Those two daughters seeing God walk through the church doors to join them. Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Not for everyone. But to those whom his favor rests, to those who have the Holy Spirit, those who have that chocolate inside given by Jesus. It's not peace when there is no war. It's peace in spite, even when there is war, when there is pain, when there is suffering, when there is death, peace. But only Jesus gives. That's one of the greatest gifts of Christmas. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, we live in dark times, difficult times, times of war, not only in the world, but sometimes in our very own families, amongst a husband and a wife, a son and a father. Not everybody believes as we believe. But to those who believe, there is a peace that this is what Christmas is all about. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, that we not only have peace with God, but we have a peace of Him within us. And that peace can overflow to others. May we never forget one of the greatest gifts we can give this Christmas is God's peace. The good news that Christmas is about Jesus Christ. May we also share that gift this Christmas with everyone who will listen to us, and we are with. And may the joy of racing off to Bethlehem be upon all of us. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.